go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on Skype, we have
John.
How's everybody doing?
Good. How's everybody's holiday?
It was all right.
Good. I got to spend it with you guys.
I know. We were all 3 a.m. All alone in the basement watching HGTV and DIY Network.
Was that what was on in the end?
Yeah. HGTV? Yeah. We were watching because Love It or List It, and then there was that Volcano House building thing that we were watching.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
It was also the night we figured out that they do two broadcasts of the Rockin' New Year or whatever Ryan Seacrest is.
Yep.
Where it's like they do a East Coast Central and a Rocky and Pacific.
Yes.
Separate.
Separate.
But the Central and the East Coast are together.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good to know.
Little tidbit. This is what happens when you stay awake until 3 a.m.
I was proud of us. That's a late night.
That's I'm still trying to recover.
I slept till almost noon the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was up at 6.
I was not happy. I had to go to the comic book store. So I had to fight traffic. I wanted to go right when it opened.
I had to wake up and change a diaper. Oh.
Sounds like fun.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for that. You guys stayed long enough. You could have done it. All right. Anyway. So it's going to be a light episode today, except for Mandalorian. That's going to be the second half.
Yep.
These guys are going to talk about it. I'm not. Because I'm going to step out of the room because I didn't finish it.
It's just the Rise of Skywalker broke you.
It's a time thing.
Yeah, it's not me this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, except the 32 other shows I watch in a year compared to your 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're a good 4.
Yeah. I go for quality.
Sure, okay. Actually, this 4 for you this year was pretty good quality, so I'm not going to judge you on that one. But I guess just to round off the episode, we're going to do 2 trailers, Downhill, and Sean brought that one up, and then A Quiet Place 2 came out this week. And then there's a little bit of, I guess, news, but there's a lot of buzz out there about a JJ cut for Rise of Skywalker. We'll do a little Witcher. I'm sorry?
Many people are talking.
Oh, many people are? Oh, okay. This is good because it's news to me. So we'll do some Witcher discussion. Sean saw one episode. I saw the first 2 Netflix new fantasy series.
Yes.
Based off of the video game.
Games are based off of the books. The TV show is based off of the books.
I was going to say both, but...
Well, okay. It's technically based off of the book.
I know. I'm sorry I said video game first.
Well, because you were wrong.
And then I said based off of the book. Jesus. All right, semantics here. Anyway, just a reminder. And this is we need to figure out what we're going to do here for end of year movies. The Oscar ballots went out this week to the Academy, and they're going to vote on it. They're due Tuesday, and then the following Monday on the 13th, I believe, is going to be the nominees. So I think we need to do our year-end review next week.
Yeah, I agree.
That said, there's a list of movies that we have not seen that we should probably watch.
Yeah, so let's bang it out in a week, guys. Yeah,
we're going to try to do that. And if this last 2 episodes of Mandalorian is any track record for me, I'm going to be screwed.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
When are you guys going to go see Little Women? I'll go with you.
I believe Sunday.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I'll go with
you. Are you really?
Yes, we are.
Oh, nice. I want to try and get out to see Knives Out.
Yeah, I gotta see that. I think Sam convinced Amy to go see that, so maybe Tuesday.
I believe we'll all I said was, it's good, and she was like, I'll check it out.
Because she has her murder mystery like box thing that she's trying to throw another party for. So she's in the murder mystery mind right now. So
I got you.
It was like perfect time to slip that in.
I got you. But I think next week we'll do year end.
Mm-hmm.
typically when we do it anyway, right?
Yeah.
A couple weeks after the actual year is over.
Well, it sucks, and Chris can personally attest to this, you know. Certain movies are theoretically have been released this year, but actually aren't, like, available yet. Like, 1917 is still not out until next Thursday.
Yeah, I might... Maybe we should hold off until the weekend. Because I do want to see 1917. Yeah. I really think that's going to be...
Whenever you want to do this.
Could go either way.
Yeah. Anyway, so the list is long for that one. And then, all right. Everybody's talking about it, apparently, the JJ cut.
We're going to jump right into JJ?
Jump right into it. We're not going to do Mandalorian, but let's just get into
the JJ cut. Well, yeah, we're going to wait on the Mando. So apparently everyone is talking about a JJ Abrams cut of The Rise of Skywalker. And, John, I don't know about you, but no one that I personally know has been talking about the J.J. Abrams cut, nor have they been talking about, oh, man, I need to see this movie again.
Well, Sean, let me tell you why you're wrong.
Okay.
It was trending on Twitter yesterday prior to us going to war with Iran. So I see, like, release the J.J. cut or, like, the Abrams cut or whatever the fuck it's called. This obviously being set in the landscape of hashtag release the Snyder cut, which has sort of actually become mainstream-ish insofar as, like, people who made the movie are aware of it. But
yeah. Actors are behind that, so.
Yeah, so what I gather here happened is there's this sort of, like, I don't know what I want to call this, alternative Reddit subreddit for Star Wars called Saltier Than Crate, which very much seems like, not to get too deep into the Reddit hole here, but similar to r/freefolk, which was very critical of Game of Thrones and, you know, but was otherwise a Game of Thrones thing. It really started because they were the ones where you could get the free rips of, like, the leaked episodes when they came out season before last. Anyway, somebody posted on the here, and this is a very long post, essentially that, you know, somebody posted saying, well, you know, a friend of mine who worked on the movie had all these things to say, and I'm just going to post them here. Essentially just, you know, giving a rundown of what happened and, you know, clashes it seemed that Disney had, or JJ had with Disney and Kathleen Kennedy and other higher-ups, which are, of course, always nameless. Just the phantom corporate Disney, I guess. So, here's the deal. To give you just a brief summation, because I don't even have time to read all this bullshit. Star Wars is dumb.
Well, I have a list in front of me, a condensed list of everything that supposedly the JJ cut has.
All right.
Where is this from, though?
To give you the broad strokes.
Broad strokes, so.
I think early on he wanted to do two movies, it looks like, or had at least occurred to them that, like, there was no way they were going to land this in, like, without making, you know, a super long movie or just two movies in general. And it sounds like the cut that eventually was released theatrically was actually not one that he submitted, but a further, like, edited version of what he submitted. And, you know, there's, like, some general stuff here about, oh, you know, they threw these scenes in just so they could sell more toys, which shouldn't really surprise anybody at this point.
Right. So,
but I don't think that was the big problems with it either. There's a lot of stuff, basically, with the tension, we'll say, between Rey and Kylo and their...
Do you want the list, John?
All right.
So these are the major points from the JJ cut. First of all, apparently Disney cut out a lot of Babu Frink, that, like, weird little character, because they were afraid of it becoming the next Jar Jar. So they cut a lot of scenes, which I'm all for.
Yeah,
I didn't want more of him.
That makes sense.
Makes sense. That's fine.
He could easily get
annoyed. Wanted to cut him out of the movie entirely.
Right. He was in more scenes. So that's fine. Next one. Apparently, Abrams filmed scenes with Hayden Christensen, Samuel L. Jackson, and Ewan McGregor as Force ghosts when Rey needed their help.
What?
Yes.
Right. So literally the thing that, who proposed that? Chris or Sean?
I did. Well, it was both of us. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you actually were right. That did happen. They just got rid of it.
Yeah. What the The Reylo kiss between Rey and Kylo. apparently J.J. Abrams was not behind that 100%. That was done in fan service. Disney made them do that because of fan service. I guess the scene where Ben Solo dies was longer, had more dialogue, whatever. Let's see. Janna was supposed to be Lando's daughter. Like, that was supposed to be actually, like, established in this movie. During the final scenes where you see all the other planets, I guess they filmed Kashyyyk, Naboo, and Kamino.
Yeah, that was. So I'm looking at the thread. That was during
the skipping scene. Yeah, when they were like light speed skipping. Sorry, got ahead of myself there.
Which like just seems really dumb in that case. Yes, it's like
I agree. Oh,
only skipping out of all the planets in the galaxy to the ones that you've seen previously.
Exactly.
But that actually does make sense because like they're randomly in Bespin and it's like, no, that's too convenient. We're not that dumb.
Yeah. And then the last bit was that Finn told Rey he was Force sensitive.
JJ, I'm not giving you a lot of shit anymore because if this is true.
Right. And that's the thing. You have to believe it. You can believe it's true or not. Right now, I guess like the only person really to come out and be like, yeah, this needs to happen. Is our Lost guy, the guy from Lost that has like three lines in this movie.
Wait, is he the guy who came out with all this stuff?
No, he's just one of the actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who came out with all this?
It was on Reddit.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Exactly. That's the problem. Like, you have to... There's a certain kind of suspension of disbelief for this because it is Reddit. So it's like maybe they're telling the truth.
Also, like a lot of this feels way too convenient. Yeah,
particularly those two.
Oh, that thing you had a problem with? We weren't going to do that, but Disney made us.
Yeah. Oh, Disney.
even then, if this is the case, like Kathleen Kennedy needs to fucking go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Okay. Counterpoint.
Go ahead.
If all of this was included in the movie, this movie would still suck.
Yeah, agreed. I was just about to say, even if you added all those, there's still much more that needed to be fixed.
I don't, who gives a shit if, half these things in there, it's still a shitty movie. There's no way any of this
here, his original cut in early November was 3 hours and 2 minutes long. I have no appetite for seeing a three-hour version of this movie.
No.
Unless there's a lot of changes. If there's like 45 minutes to an hour of changes.
It's going to need a lot of changes. But here's the difference for me. Like, at this point, I'm more intrigued about a Snyder cut of Justice League than I am about a JJ cut for this movie. And I hated Justice League, and I hated this movie. But I feel like I could give Justice League a second chance.
No, Justice League, the Snyder Cut, I'm just interested in that. It's just like a morbid curiosity of how worse can this be?
Yeah, was it better? Was it worse? I need to know this.
They'll never release it.
I don't know.
They could. We'll see.
It has gained a lot of steam because over the last 6 months.
I can guarantee you, if it's actually better, it would have been released by now.
They take a long time to do shit though. Look at Blade Runner. He wasn't actually able to change the ending of Blade Runner until 30-40 years after the fact. So
it's also Blade Runner.
It's like the best.
Yeah.
Version.
Well, I mean, I feel like Warner Brothers. Maybe it could be happening. Maybe they could be in the talks because let's be honest, if they release the Snyder Cut. It's going to sell more copies of this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to make that money back that it lost.
Straight to the DVD.
Well, yeah, you don't do a theatrical release. You just do home media, stream it on your DC service. Hell, only do it on the DC service. Just only on the DC service. How many people are going to pick up the DC service
For 1 month, they'll pay $12
or
whatever it is.
Alternatively, perhaps it comes out on HBO Max.
Yeah. Any of that would work. And you know what? I would be very interested in watching that. I'm not going to lie. Like you said, Sam, it's a morbid curiosity.
Because I'm convinced this is just either as bad or worse than what we saw.
Yeah, I really don't think JJ is this fallen savior that was going to save it until the corporate overlords fucking screwed it up.
Yeah, I, I,
I just don't see that in any other of his movies.
I'm with you. I can't imagine JJ would be a pushover to the management of Disney execs.
I could see some of it.
I feel like he would say, I'll come on to the third movie, but I need full control. He seems like that type of director. Because he would never be able to make some of the movies he's made now.
Mm.
He would never be able to do Overlord. I mean, Super 8, yeah, I could see him doing that. But Cloverfield is another one. Yeah.
He did the last two... Mission Impossibles, didn't he?
No, he just did the third one.
No, it wasn't.
One with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, was that though? Oh, yeah. So the bad one. I thought he did the 4 and 5.
He did. He doesn't.
That's Christopher McQuarrie.
He doesn't seem like a director who would actually say, who would actually give in to, additional input or final input that rests in somebody else's hands.
Thank God for him, though, that he released Super 8 before Stranger Things.
Yes.
If that came out afterwards, people would just trash the living shit out of him.
Yeah. Is Super 8 the original Stranger Things? Because it's
kind of close. By the way, J.J. Abrams produced movies. Well, he produced Overwatch. Overlord.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's giving him credit for those.
No.
No, no. They just have those, like, from the director of Lord of the Rings style things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, he doesn't exactly go out on a ledge. Like, even Star Trek is, like, so different from what Star Trek was, but is exactly like every other movie.
Yeah.
You know? So. I don't know. I don't buy it. And I think this is definitely, like, I don't know if it's, like, people from his side, like, actually trying to get the story out or whatever, because this only has good things to say about him. There's no, like, this is the real story element of it. So even if this is, like, accurate in some sense, it's, like, incredibly one-sided.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's hitting all the right points. Huh. I don't know if I believe this.
That's way too convenient.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's hitting all the right notes.
I don't know. Moving on.
What do you want to do? The two trailers?
Sure.
So why don't we do Downhill first?
All right, we'll go Downhill.
New comedy starring Will Ferrell and Julia Dreyfus?
Dreyfus, yeah.
Yeah. It's about apparently this family who moves to a European ski country. Town.
The Alps.
And it's just them, I don't know, I guess living there permanently?
It's hard to tell exactly what the plot of this movie is. I think they're on vacation. They're on a ski vacation. But
I thought they moved there, they said.
I don't know. I don't know if they moved to, like, Switzerland or if they moved to the Alps.
Oh,
or
yeah,
if they're in Switzerland and they're vacationing, you know. It's just, like, their relationship as a husband and wife and their two, I believe, sons and just... I guess so. There's an avalanche, and she's left with the kids, and he runs away with his phone, and it just starts a fracture in their relationship there. And it just
seems like a relationship movie instead of an actual.
Well, that it's comes comedy. Out on Valentine's Day, so it's a dramedy, so it's a drama comedy. So it is by the same duo that did The Descendants. I forget their names off the top of my head. I know one of them does the voice for that Matt Groening show on Netflix.
The Descendants is that's a show, right, on Disney?
No. Hold on.
Isn't that the one with...
Is that Alexander Payne? Is that what the guy's name is?
The George Clooney movie that came out in 2011. So Nat Faxon is one of the writers for this movie. The other one is Jesse Armstrong did the screenplay as well. Jim Rash and one other guy.
He's done. Yeah, Jesse Armstrong has recently worked on Veep as well as Succession, which I, even though we don't really talk about him here.
Right.
Veep is a good show.
Yes.
Deep's funny.
This
actually is a remake of a Swedish movie from like 5 years ago.
All right.
Which, you know, literally the same thing happens. I've never seen, although I have seen the one clip of the avalanche, and it actually looks like really legit. Like I had no idea that this movie was actually a comedy when I heard it was a remake of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I probably would rather see this kind of a Will Ferrell movie than most of the other shit he's doing these days.
I agree.
Really?
Yes. I feel like it's kind of like the Adam Sandler kind of fatigue on the character, where Adam Sandler basically played the same character for, you know, a decade straight, and towards the end, people didn't give a shit, and to this day, he still tries to do it, and we just get angry at him. So, like, Will Ferrell, he's had success doing that kind of character, and then the times that he's actually had to step up his game, he's done pretty well. So, like, I'm willing, like, was it Stranger Than Fiction was actually not a bad movie. I mean, it wasn't a laugh-out-loud comedy, but it was a drama-comedy kind of thing. Yeah.
Did you see the one, what is it, Everything Must Go, where, like, his wife kicks him out, so he's just, like, selling all this stuff on his...
He's, like, an alcoholic.
Yeah. It's, I mean, look, I could barely tell you what happens in that movie. I just remember it being fine, you know?
Yeah. And I see this movie, and I'm like, okay, you got two strong comedic leads in this movie, which neither one I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that person. Like, it's literally like this is a good duo to do this with, where if you want them to go straight drama, I feel like both of them can do it. But if you want it to be silly at times, they also can, you know, improv scenes to make it funny.
See, I feel like this is going to fall into the... It's not going to be great. You remember the movie The Breakup?
No.
Jennifer Aniston and...
oh, well, right there tells you...
John Vaughn. John,
no, it was...
John Voight.
No, it's...
oh, my God.
Is it Vince? It's not Vince.
Vince.
It's Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn. The like, Wedding Crasher. The other Wedding Crasher.
Fact that it's those two should tell you this movie is not going to be very good. Yeah,
but when I saw this, I was immediately reminded of that movie.
Yeah, but I have more faith in this than that movie.
Yeah, and, like, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, you know, like, she's not doing this shit for money.
Right.
Like, you know, her family has, like, an incredible personal wealth, let alone the fact that she's been on, like, all these very successful shows. So, yeah. You know, I wish Will Ferrell was a little bit more discerning, to be honest. Like, I don't know why he does some of this other shit, if it's, like, just thinking, like, he's gonna, like, get his thing out there or whatever, but... I mean, I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but...
I'm not going to see this in theaters, no way.
It all depends on the reviews, honestly.
For me, probably not going to see this in theaters. I'm looking at this and being like, okay, at best, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
At worst, this is going to be not terrible, but not good.
Yeah, just kind of meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, why don't we go into the second trailer, A Quiet Place 2.
Yeah, as the only person here who's seen this, which is odd because...
The first Quiet Place.
Yes. So this movie, the opening is like, it starts with day one. So you get kind of see the monsters attacking, which is, if you've seen the movie, it's kind of cool because you don't see that in the movie. I haven't seen
the monsters.
Well, they show the monsters in the first movie towards the end. But for the most part, that movie deals with after the attack, I guess, like well after the attack, like they have a system of how to get around and whatnot and how to stay quiet. And it deals with them, her becoming pregnant, having a kid, and them dealing with a newborn infant who's going to cry. And, you know, the monsters obviously hearing the cry because any sound sets these monsters off and they attack whatever's making noise. So this movie obviously takes place after that. The family is taking the kid because the farm is burnt down and destroyed. But at the end of the first one, they do have a way to attack the monsters to hurt them. So
wait, are we just giving away like the Quiet Place plot points?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying,
sounds like it.
but that's where you leave off, is they found a way to hurt these things. So this movie looks like it picks up right afterwards, almost immediately, the family on the go, I guess, trying to find others. And I mean, the first one was a huge surprise to me, that I'm willing to give this one a shot. It is John Krasinski also wrote and directed this. Well, I don't know if he directed it. He did co-write it, just like the first one. I think he does direct this one. So, I mean, it's in the same hands as the first one, so I have faith.
Okay.
Do you guys have any input?
Not really.
Sam, I have a question for you. Are you disappointed that the name of this movie isn't, like, A Quieter Place or, like, Stay Quiet or something like that?
Yeah, as Sean was saying, the weird Quiet Place 2... In my head, I thought, A Quieter Place.
Or like Too Quiet or something like that.
No, that's going to be a third one. That's going to be a third one. I don't know. This movie's on the list. The first one is on the list.
I definitely recommend it for you guys. I mean, it's within our wheelhouse. It is a good sci-fi movie, monster movie, like really well done. Like I said before, nominated for an Oscar. I mean,
It's true. Nominated they should for one Oscar.
They should really do a Bird Box crossover.
It is similar, yeah, right?
It is very similar.
Yeah.
But how would they know? Like, one can't see and the other can't talk, so it's like how... It's got to be like a Helen Keller kind of movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I forgot about the Bird Box. You can't see anything.
Yeah, you can't look at the monsters or they'll kill you.
That's right.
There's this one, you can't make any sound or they will kill you. Which honestly, that scene with like the bus in the opening, like that hooked me. I don't know why. It was just awesome. It was well done. It definitely hooked me.
All right. Well, when was the release date on that?
It's soon, actually. It's sometime this year. Well, obviously. Obviously, because
what, 363 days left. I was looking for a more specific date instead of 300 plus days.
Well, this trailer dropped, and like I knew they were like thinking about doing a sequel, and then all of a sudden this dropped. Like, oh, holy crap! Really? They actually did make it.
I knew they were
March
filming.
2020.
Oh, so okay.
So it's in 3 months. That's soon for a trailer to drop this close. So. And yes, John Krasinski did direct this movie as well. So
looks at camera.
What was I going to say? All right. Let's move on to the final topic before Mandalorian.
All right.
The Witcher.
Witcher.
New Netflix series based off of the video game, which is based off of the book.
It's not based off of the video game. It's based off of the book. Trust me, your wording makes it sound like this is based off of the game.
Then
it's not. It has nothing to do with the game.
People can message us on Facebook and complain that I'm presenting The Witcher wrong.
All right, you're presenting The Witcher wrong. Anyways, it's based off of the books, which also spawned a very successful game series, to the point where, was it 93 million people started playing this game again on Steam?
Can we find the stats? We mentioned it New Year's
Eve. Oh, yeah. For
the increase of Witcher accounts from when this came out versus the increase of World of Warcraft accounts when Warcraft came out.
I'm going with it wasn't that significant.
I'm thinking Warcraft might have been a bigger jump.
I don't think so.
This is why we... I didn't hear anything about The Witcher jumping either. So.
Oh, it's everywhere on the internet.
I don't see it. Where am I seeing it?
And I didn't see anything about Warcraft when it came out a few years ago. I heard that it was a bad movie. We watched it, and I agree.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, we all watched it. It was on HBO. We talked about it on the podcast. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Witcher, going back to this, starring Henry Cavill and various other people. I'm sorry. I just can't remember their name.
No, it's fine because it. Based on the first episode,
I'm not going to recap the story, but
it's a guy who's a Witcher.
Don't even bother.
That's pretty much the story they give you. It's a guy. He's a Witcher, and
because the first episode, you start off, and then it's just You don't really get anywhere considering how it ends.
Nope.
No idea.
Well, like it. So I just that I want to start off because like this show started off for me personally. This is how it went. First of all, you have the deepest swamp ever. And then a monster pops out with that fawn there by the side. Witcher guy kills it, looks at the fawn. Fawn has a cut on its leg. He's like,
"Oh, this is a bad day for you."
And then cuts to black and you hear the sword slicing like flesh. Then he goes to the tavern and he's like doing whatever. The girl offers him breakfast. He's like, "I already ate venison." Yeah. It's like, what's the point of that line? Like, we know you killed the fawn, but why did you have to say it? Like, it was a dumb line, and basically it was all downhill from there for me.
There's something not good about the lines in the show.
Yeah, so...
And it doesn't stop at the first episode.
No,
it
continues
through the series. All right,
you just like mentioned like two lines, and I'm just going to say this.
Yes,
he's in.
Are these like Steven Seagal level lines? Because that... No, I had venison.
Yeah.
Sounds like it came from Steven Seagal.
It is. I mean, it went, yeah. I hate to say
it. Take it, yeah. Like, bank senator.
So I've never
the
played...
The blood bank.
I've never played the games, but I have seen, like...
Have you read the books?
No, I have not. Because I didn't even know they were books until the author of the books was trying to sue the video game industry for, like, millions of dollars for using his books, but... He failed to realize that he signed off basically for one game, and then The Witcher 3 happened. It's like based on the character that Henry Cavill plays, he does a decent job of it, but he just grunts way too much.
He needs to talk normal.
Yeah, like the guy has a raspy voice in the game, but like Cavill is just like... Like, I don't understand what he's saying.
He's probably voiced by some voice actor with an incredible voice, which is why he's a voice actor.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I guess Henry Cavill is a huge fan of this game and the book series. So, like, he tried doing it justice, which, I mean, props to him, but, like, no.
It's not coming across.
No.
And I don't think it's him either. Everybody's...
Everyone.
Writing. People were worried about him... When their initial reviews came out, they redid something. They didn't like Cavill as much. So they started focusing more on the women in the show, from what I was reading. But it's not really him. It's the writing.
It's the writing.
And in the second episode, it's noticeable that there's scenes missing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this... not really ruining anything. There's this kind of developing relationship between two characters that goes from one scene they meet, and then the next time you see them, they're essentially having a tryst. It's just, you know, underneath a witch's tower. It's very odd that they go from A to, you know, N real quick.
So my boss has been playing Witcher 3. And then this show came out, so he was like, "Well, I have to watch it now during Christmas
because it's based off of the video game."
No,
correct?
Okay. So he watched it, and he was like, "I guess the second episode is just the worst, and it definitely picks up from there."
Okay, because the second episode is pretty.
Yeah, he said brutal. The third episode is awesome. Like he loved the third episode, but the first two are just atrocious. But every plot thing that we've brought up, the writing, just like missing scene, like all of that, he completely agrees with. It definitely seems very rushed. Like with the missing scenes, it's trying to get to plot points without establishing anything. Mm-hmm. So in the first episode, that kingdom falls and like basically burns to the ground.
Yes.
But you don't care because they didn't spend any time establishing that kingdom as being anything special.
Yep.
Like,
I mean, they kind of bring it up in the second, but it's already
in the past.
I don't want to say it's a misspoint. That kingdom coming down should have happened in the second episode, right? And the build up should have been in the first.
Because like there's the king and queen, which I'm assuming that was the king because the queen calls him the king, but he doesn't dress or act like a king. And then he gets the arrow through the eye, like the third time we see him. which was like my oh shit moment. I was like, oh damn.
Yeah, and then, there's also, you need a, so when I read Game of Thrones, I have a notepad next to me.
Okay.
Or a piece of paper that I keep as a bookmark, but I also write down names of them. This is what I need for this show.
Yeah.
Because there has been a lot of stuff. Like in the first episode, for example, the Witcher meets the lady.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I, you know, I'm like, all right, I should probably remember this name. She seems important. Like another guy was talking about
Nope.
her. Nope. Nope. Unneeded. Yep. She's gone.
She dead.
She gone. And then it's the same thing with the king and the queen, like you said. And then the second, you're like, oh, they're gone. And the same thing happens in the second one. Oh, there's this dude who kills elves. Yeah, he's cool, and he's like 18, and then the next time you see him, there's an arrow in him. So it's just...
The princess is a main character in, I know, the third game, because my boss talks about her a lot. But I know there's a second female character that's like a main character that...
There's like three or four right now.
Yeah.
There's the Witcher, Geralt... Whatever. Geralt, yeah. There's the princess, obviously. There's a witch that you get introduced to, and then there's this other like deformed witch who's half elf.
Okay.
She comes along. Apparently those are four. Those are, I would consider, the four mains for now.
I mean, the world seems interesting. As I asked my boss when I was talking to him about this show, I was like, so what's a Witcher? And he's like, don't worry about it. Yeah. They don't explain it.
No, I don't know what it will
be. Awesome. So no one's going to tell me what a Witcher is, but everybody's going to be like, oh, you mutant. I'm like, how do you know what a mutant is?
See, I feel like this is, I'm still going to, first, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm actually going to continue with this just because I want to see.
It's morbid curiosity.
It's morbid curiosity. And it's not even that.
I have a theme for this episode.
I'm more interested in if the princess actually meets up with Geralt,
I'm assuming she will, because she's the main character in the game.
And he's the main, and I feel like that's the whole point of this show. But
yeah.
I kind of want to see how that's going to go, because I don't want there to be some awkward things going on between the two, because there's clearly a very large and substantial age gap.
Yeah, she's like 18, and he is like mid-30s.
Older, older, but it...
But he's a Witcher, means something.
This is 100% fantasy show, and it's right in our alley.
It should be. But I feel like this is another situation of, like, this should not have been.
Yeah, I agree, but there's...
It translated well to a game. It's not translating well to a TV show.
There's no way. All right, let's put it this way. Even though it's a bad show, and it's not done well, I'm still going to watch it. Jesus,
that's just sad. I might not go back to this.
I wouldn't blame you. I would not blame you.
Chris, you have a problem.
I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is. But this is... So I watched the first one, I think, like a few days after it came out. And then the second one I watched... not yesterday. A couple days ago.
Yeah.
So there's been like 6-7 days in between. So it's not something that I'm going toward to... You know, on a daily basis.
I could stop anytime I want to.
No, I'm sure I could.
I'm going to catch that dragon one day.
I'm sure I could, and then just eventually hop back into it. You know, it's like Sons of Anarchy. You can stop at midway through the season, then pick it back up 6 months later, I have done.
Let's be honest, this isn't Sons of Anarchy.
No. This is not as good as Sons. No way. And even then, Sons had up and down seasons.
This did not have up.
No. I don't recommend this to anybody currently. Again, it's just like you said, it's morbid curiosity.
Bad writing. And
editing.
Yeah.
Writing and editing. Well, the CGI looks solid.
It's okay.
Solid.
Yeah.
You know, it's a TV, it's a Netflix TV show. Exactly. I don't expect a lot.
This show suffers from the fear of being a one and done, and that's why they tried cramming as much stuff in the first season.
I think that's what it is.
Whereas if they were able to actually put together a solid first season, they wouldn't have to worry about that. And there's a lot of characters they have to develop and introduce, and it's too much for this show.
I'm agreeing with you in this. I think that there's too many names and places and things that are meant for book and game players that to the average reader like myself who does not read this, and I'm assuming to you, Sean, who does not read these or play the games,
right?
We're kind of lost.
Oh, yeah.
So you're only you're catering to this one market, whereas I think with this, it seems like this is going to be a high budget show. You need to cast a broader net.
Yeah. They hyped this show up. Major.
They did, and they had every right to. Yeah. They had every right
to. I agree. And I mean, it just, it's falling flat for so me.
Same for me.
You know what this show makes me do more than anything else? Makes me want to play The Witcher 3 and see what the hype is all about.
I don't even want to. This makes me not want to do anything.
Yeah, but it's one of the greatest games of all time, supposedly. So, I mean.
Yeah, who knows? That's up for a future debate at some other time. So,
all right. Well, we have one last topic.
Can I throw something out there, a little update?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just clicked on this Saltier Than Crate, this subreddit for Star Wars fans. The top upvoted post here by a mile is Wasted Character Number 492, Gwendolyn Christie as Captain Phasma.
Yes.
And to which I say, I'm going to cancel this subreddit. What a dumb take.
I mean, they're not wrong, but like, you're a few years too late on that, like, concern.
Right. Like, no, I like Gwendolyn Christie, but that character was really dumb.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Why didn't they replace her with the Knights of Ren?
Yeah.
Why, you could probably substitute out her character for the Knights of Ren.
Yep, and she was dumb. I mean, the second time you saw her, she was somebody who barely knows the Force was able to trick her.
Not to go totally back to the other thing, but I wonder if there's actually a JJ cut of The Force Awakens, because that I would be interested in, because that seems like that had like five movies in it that none of them like really went well together.
Yeah, I'd be more interested for that.
Anyway,
it could be.
Anyways,
who knows.
So now,
you guys are doing Mando?
Yeah, we're doing Mando.
Right, I'm going to step out. You can finish.
So, Chris.
Wait, Chris, did we want to do quick? Like,
what did he say?
Oh, no. He took his headphones. He's back.
What did he say?
Oh, do we want to do like 1 minute review of like Six Underground?
Right now?
Or spoiler free?
Yeah, I could do a spoiler free.
You can give it
six,
a rating.
Six Underground. And do you want a rating, John, or do you want me to wait?
You can wait. Whatever.
I'll wait. So, a Six Underground is a story about a billionaire who has seen very bad things happen in the world on his travels, done by dictators and brutal, bureaucracies and things like that. So he's taken pretty much the law into his own hands, and he creates this group of ex-CIA, ex-military, ex-hitman. And assembles a team. Sorry, what are you doing?
Sorry, you said he takes the law in his hands, and I went, "I am the law," from Judge Dredd. And I was like, "We need a soundboard."
So he creates this team of ex-military people who are all essentially badasses, and then he starts doing missions that, in this one particular case, he tries to overthrow a dictator who is unleashing chemical warfare or chemical weapons onto civilians, his own civilians. And if anybody pays attention to current politics, that is what happened in Syria. So it's essentially just a very hardcore spy movie with a lot of explosions and violence.
This is a Michael Bay movie, right?
So I did not know that. And when I knew, I saw the opening scene or credits had the guys who wrote Deadpool, and I saw that, and I'm like, oh, this should be funny, kind of interesting. And then because I wasn't really paying attention to the rest of the introductions and, you know, the cast and producers and all that stuff. And then we open up with the car chase, and then all of a sudden I look and I go, I've seen that explosion before. And then wait, I've seen those other explosions before. And then I'm like, this is Michael Bay. Pause. Look up who the director, I think it's the director.
Yeah,
it's Michael Bay. And it's Mike, of course it's Michael Bay. You can't miss those. And then after that, I put everything down, I sat in, and I went for a ride.
Like,
so every single concept of Michael Bay movie is in this movie, from the explosions to the obnoxious amount of falling debris from skyscrapers to let's shoot a bunch of stuff in the desert because the lighting is good, and let's get a bunch of military because we're friends with the military and all the airplanes and stuff. Oh, we cannot forget about the blue aviators that everybody has to wear. which is in every Michael Bay movie. So, you know,
it was, tell me there's that obnoxious bureaucrat who screws everything up.
I'm not going to, I don't want to say anything because that may or may not be a spoiler.
So it's true. So it happens.
There's an obnoxious.
So I don't want to say anything because John said he wanted to watch it. So
no, you don't have to say anything, but your silence says
everything. I'm not gonna, really going to say whether or not there's a second bureaucrat involved in this movie whatsoever. However,
just feeding us the story at this point.
You know what? The ride is a action-oriented ride. I don't expect anything less. And you just have to. I'll say what I think afterwards. When I guess whoever wants to watch it watches it, and we can discuss it. But you know, I think John, it's a ride that you may want to sit back and you know have a beverage or few before you watch. So
like
or a libation. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of libation, maybe something to throw you off your game, so that way you can you know get good lighting.
Like
sure.
As you were describing this, I kept thinking to myself, "This is the most Michael Bay movie I have ever heard."
It really is. It's more Michael Bay than Transformers. If that makes any sense to you whatsoever.
No, it does. Because like Transformers is like he had to use somebody else's IP.
Ooh, think of The Island times four.
He ripped off The Island, by the way.
Did he? Okay, yes. I didn't know that.
He lost that lawsuit.
But it's very much that style. This movie.
Yeah. If you want to see the movie that he ripped off,
no, I don't want to.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 riffed it a while ago.
What, on the Netflix ones?
No, was it? It was
original run. It was, yeah.
It was the last cast did it, right? Memory Bank, right?
Did anybody finish the MST3K, the new ones?
God, no.
No,
I haven't been able to.
It's not a show to binge watch.
Some of them are good, but the good thing is you can actually go back and watch without having a binge or going in a row.
It's tough. It's not a bingeable show, but it seems like it's done.
Do they have any of the classic ones on there?
No, they redid a whole bunch of movies.
No, they do. They do have classic Mystery Science.
Oh, the old ones with what's his name? Dave?
Joel and Mike.
Joel.
They have the Joel and Mike's episodes on there. You just got to look for them.
Right. No, and I mean, obviously, they're going to have a lot of, like, it's going to be tough just to get clearance to do that, considering, you know, what it is. But,
right.
Oh, so I got to check that out. Hey, can I give you another 30-second Netflix review here?
Sure, why not?
All right. Speaking of sure, why not, The Two Popes, starring Jonathan Pryce and Anthony Hopkins as The Two Popes.
Don't spoil this, though. I am watching this.
What is there to spoil?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's a historical drama.
It's inspired by true events, yes.
So what is it going to spoil? Hey, guess what? Benedict steps down.
Dude, one of them becomes Pope.
I got it.
I don't want Chris to leave the podcast. No, I mean, look. Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a movie.
That's it? That's all I got?
I saw that. I kind of enjoyed this movie.
Don't spoil it.
You watched it?
It's a nice movie.
I was tempted to watch it the other day. I think on New Year's Day, I was scrolling through Netflix and I was like, oh, I watched the trailer for it. I was like, that's tempting, but I probably won't enjoy this.
It's more focused on Francis than Benedict.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's really his story and the sort of framing devices. The two of them are having a conversation prior to Benedict stepping down.
I think this is getting talk for best actor or best supporting actor.
Yeah, I mean, it's nominated in the Golden Globes. Not surprising. It seems like a very Golden Globes kind of movie, which is to say international focus, but not really like that compelling otherwise.
The one thing that I took out of I only watched the trailer, but the one thing I took out, Anthony Hopkins in his age looks like Benedict.
Yeah,
he looked like him.
He has a little German accent and everything. It's very, it comes off. Sam, did you like how Jonathan Pryce wasn't speaking Spanish? It was just some other guy?
Yeah, at times you could really tell that, yeah.
There's a lot of different, I mean, this movie speaks, Spanish, Italian, Latin, English, German,
interchangeably, switching over.
Like he's just saying, you know, arrivederci and avida zen, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be exhausting. Like, you've got to know so many frigging languages. Well, at least if you get the Latin base, you can. The Italian should be a little bit easier. So, yeah, no, it's fine. I don't, if you're just looking for, like, a nice movie that has kind of, like, a nice ending to, it's just, I'm maybe was a little rough. I'll say it's a nice movie.
Do you want to give it a rating?
Yeah, I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I'll give it a rating, too. I enjoyed it a bit more. I'd say 8-1.
Ooh, okay. Wow.
I love the topic, and I mean, I think there was some stuff where, like, a lot of the insides were CGI, because, I mean, obviously they weren't filming in the Vatican, but right. I thought they, I mean, it looks great, and I can't wait for my second Pope Media installment in as many months with the new Pope coming next week, next Monday on HBO.
Oh, man.
Going up against the college football national championship game, so I'll be flipping between the two.
When does the new Pope come out? Monday.
Okay. Monday the 13th.
Yeah, just watching this made me kind of be like, I kind of wish this was more about Benedict, because he seems like the more interesting of the two.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's was the first Pope ever to step down, or first Pope in like...
Since like... Yeah. 1206.
Yeah, in like hundreds of years to step down, and like I'm more interested in that story than this Pope's
like,
rise.
Not that Francis
fame.
Doesn't have an interesting story, but right. like
yeah.
there's something
did you,
almost
I,
tragic
did you find
about
the
Benedict.
Flashback right. scenes to really be affecting. I didn't think it really added anything.
Yeah, they were kinda. Like it was more just interesting.
Yeah.
Just to learn all that.
And I'll tell you what, it's this movie is not like the weirdest like random interjection of politics in a Netflix movie this year somehow.
Well, what would be your pick for that?
Oh, far and away The Laundromat.
I'd never watched The Laundromat. Steve, I never even heard of it.
Did that come out this year?
Yeah. Chris, you might be interested. It's more kind of like there's some finance stuff going on. It's not bad. It's the guy who did what's that one you like, Sean? Contagion.
Okay. I didn't know I liked it that
no,
much.
No, I like Contagion.
Oh, Chris likes Contagion. Yeah. All right, so maybe Chris would like it.
I mean, I liked it, but like I remember talking about it like when it
right,
came
well,
out, and that was it.
I actually searched for it and rewatched it again recently. Very recently.
Wow.
I thought it was good.
No, I liked
it. It was more like a practical end of world style type thing than, you know, World War Z was. So.
Oh god. Well yeah. They actually dealt with an actual disease. Stupid bats.
As I look over at Pandemic, the board game in the corner.
Yeah, I was noticing that earlier.
Yes.
I don't think I've played that.
Yeah, well maybe on the pod. We'll see.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
you guys doing Mando?
We are doing Mando, so
all right, you close it up too.
All right.
Take a seat next to us and listen to the Mando.
I have spoken.
Let us get some libations to celebrate the end of our collective narrative. Greatest line ever.
Wait, what? He says that in the show?
Werner Herzog? Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Oh, God, yeah. I thought that was Carl Weathers.
No, that was Herzog. Yeah, that was...
I'd like to see the child.
Yeah, oh, my God. It's sleeping.
He's incredible in this, man. So when did we talk about this last? Did we talk about the first half? I don't even remember.
No, we didn't talk about either one because Chris hadn't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. So, once Chris leaves and... Door's closed. We could talk. All right, so...
What an ending.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, so this... Basically, everything was building up to this. I mean, he brings the team back together. You know, the band's coming back together. Kind of like, oh, man, everybody, including the IG unit, IG-11's coming back. And they have this whole plan where they go with Carl Weathers to drop the baby off, but they're going to kill him instead. And, like, I said last week when we were talking Star, or 2 weeks ago, I forget when our last podcast was, but we were talking about this is the first time you ever see the Force healing ability, and to like I said, if it wasn't for Baby Yoda doing this first, I would have been like, that's bullshit. watching that in Rise of Skywalker.
Really?
Like, yeah. Credibility the Baby Yoda has for being around for like a month and a half.
Yes, that's how much credibility Baby Yoda has. Like, anything Baby Yoda does, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can believe that.
I don't know. Force healing to me seems like just like, yeah, the Force does that.
Yeah, but like, it's sad. I find it very sad that Baby Yoda does better acting than any of the people in the movie when he uses the Force.
Oh, come on. That's a little harsh.
I feel bad saying that, but it's true. I mean, like, every time he does something like that that's incredible, he passes out. Because it takes a lot out of him. But every time somebody does it in the movies, they're like, ha, the Force can do everything because I just learned how to do this yesterday. So, I mean, like...
He's also like a child.
So. He's 50, Sam. He's 50.
Yeah, that's like a child in Yoda years.
He's 50. Anyways, so he gets the band back together. They go storm the place. They come up with this whole plan. They realize there's a trap going on, so they send Nick Nolte's Ugnaught back to the ship to be with the IG unit.
Which I like to point out, like, how weird it was when Carl Weathers' character is like, you healed me? I guess I'm on your side now.
Yeah.
I guess this is all actually evil. Sorry.
Yeah, it was just like, all right, that was a bit of a stretch, but...
Come on, Carl. We expect better acting.
But also, I mean, not exactly like the first time you've seen that trick pulled.
Right, right. I mean, it, like...
I mean, it was nice that they kept building up to that. Like, yeah. We got a little... Was it episode 2? We got Baby Yoda trying to heal the Mando.
Yeah.
Like, several times he tries to heal people, and right. It's not until that point that you see him heal.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, this whole episode, and then it ends with, like I said, them realizing there's a big trap... Because there's a lot more than, like, five stormtroopers in the city now. It's a whole, you know, battalion. And so, sends Nick Nolte's character back. Ends up dying on the way back. You see, like, one of the last shots is you see
him. Speeders get him.
Beep, beep. Yeah, you just see
more
him.
More like he's croaking.
Oh, God. Anyways. But, like, you see him, like, lying in the sand. And, like, I kind of felt something there. Like,
I guess he has spoken.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he died.
I was okay with that. He was a little bit of an annoying character.
Yeah. But, like, it is kind of a tragic story for him. Like, yeah, he was sold into slavery into the Empire. He worked his way out, bought his own freedom, basically had a little farm where, like, he did what with the Blurgs. And then the Mando shows up and he gets him killed. It's kind of sad, in a way.
Yeah, I know. Everybody has a sad story.
I know. Especially in this show. But yeah, so yeah, that's how... And I mean, episode one, or the first half of this finale ends with the Stormtrooper grabbing the bag that Baby Yoda's in and driving off. And then we start... the second episode, which starts with everyone hating on Jason Sudeikis, apparently.
Wait, what? Is fan reaction to that negative?
To Jason Sudeikis? Apparently, yeah. The internet, like, turned on him for hitting Baby Yoda.
Oh, okay. All right. But yeah. It's not like this is dumb. Like, they don't
No. They're like, mad that he hit Baby Yoda. Like, you can't do that.
I mean, he's an asshole for doing that.
Right.
Clearly, he deserves to die.
Right.
We totally didn't talk about this at all with the JJ cut stuff. But you guys see how, like, Boyega just went off on people?
Yes.
Like, on Twitter?
Yeah.
And was like, yeah, raise a character. It's not the actual actress. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he... Boyega's digging himself into a hole right now with fans, and that's not...
Zero fucks. I love it.
Yeah, but that's going to kill his career.
Yeah, maybe Attack the Block 2 is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or Pacific Rim 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Detroit 2.
So, I mean, as a two-parter, I think it was broken up perfectly. To me, it's all one series finale.
Yeah. It's one solid story straight through, and I was happy that they broke it in half rather than releasing like one really long episode. Because the end of that first episode, it made me want to come back for more. Like, I was like, oh, I need this next episode. And it sucked, too, because it was released that Wednesday before Star Wars. And then we had to wait a week plus a few days for the next episode. So it's like, oh, especially with the, you know, how disappointed I was in, you know, Rise of Skywalker. It's like, at least I have this to look forward to. But I had to wait so much longer, which sucked.
Oh, yeah. I think I mentioned this off podcast. I didn't actually mention this on podcast, but like that first scene in the final episode, just watching that, I was like, oh, this is the one directed by Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where like they're bantering back and forth. You have the hilarious bit where they take out their ankle blaster and start trying to shoot a can and just miss. Yeah. And so he like shakes it next to him, like thinking there's something like a problem with it. Like, it's just like funny stuff like that where you're like, oh, Taika Waititi did this.
But it's okay. Like, it's also just kind of one of his moves where it's like, we're all expecting this big action scene. So right. He lets focus on these two guys sitting on top of a hill.
Right.
Just shooting the shit, punching Baby Yoda.
You just want to see it. Yeah, it was a funny bit, and it didn't overstay its welcome, and then IG-11 comes in and whoops ass. So, I mean, but just the rest of the episode, I mean, you have, I forget the Moff, begins with a G.
Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah. But
that's not.
No, I know. That's the actor's name.
I kind of want that to be his name now.
But, like, he shows up. They've set up that giant gun. And, like, he goes through the whole story about, like, hey, you know, everyone here knows what this gun can do, basically. So you have till nightfall to give me the child. And it's just them trying to fight their way out. And when the Mandalorian explodes, part of me thought that was it. Like, part of me really thought, like, yeah, this is his final.
Like, the IG unit's going to put on the armor and pretend like he's Pedro Pascal.
Like, when he just, like, kept saying, like, let me die here, let me have a warrior's death, like, kind of thing. Like, he couldn't stand. And, like, backed as a thing in Star Wars, I understand, but like, it also felt like a cop out to me as a Star Wars fan. Like,
oh yeah, it felt a little bit like we have to have some reason to show up
right
his face.
So like, well, I liked that they showed his face because he was like, no living thing has ever seen my face. He's like, I'm not living. Like, fine, do it. And then he just sprays the Bacta. Like, I don't know. I was really almost expecting him to be like the final fight for the Mandalorian, and then the show to continue with, you know, Cara Dune and Baby Yoda, and like continue with them rather than with the Mandalorian, which I would almost be okay with. But I do really like the Mandalorian as a character.
No, it was great. I don't think it was. I think it was the second to last, yeah, the second to last episode when Baby Yoda chokes out Cara Dune.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's great.
He's like, no, friend. I guess she passed out twice filming that scene. Like,
wow,
yeah,
kick her out again.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Why?
Because I guess she got really into it and basically choked herself out twice.
Okay.
Right, like. I read that and I was like, wow.
Like, Sam's, I have a good Friday night. Sorry. It was just sitting there. Did you guys, I liked the fight in the smelter.
Yeah. That with the armor.
Yeah, I don't know what she's called.
She's the armor. That's her character name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that looked sick. Like, I just look, I think what left me about this Mandalorian as a whole, all of the like really big set pieces looked like movie quality.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily say that about everything in the show, But, like, you know, the end of the first episode, the square or the showdown with all the Mandalorians, like, the, you know, the thing at the end of this episode, it all just looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely spent the money where they needed to.
Right. And they didn't rely on CGI too much. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the IG 11, the, like, when it's moving around and stuff, it seems a little wonky, almost like it was done in stop motion rather than done with, like, CGI or practicals. I don't know about if you guys feel that way.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, watch the IG 11. Like, even when he they talk about reprogramming it to be, like, was it Quill? Is it Quill? Is Nick Nolte's character, the Ugnaught? But, like, he talks about reprogramming it.
Yeah, Quill.
And, yeah. And it, like, it looks wonky at times. I don't know if that was done on purpose or whatnot, but there's a few spots where it's just, it looks odd. But, and then the IG unit sacrifices himself for the greater good, which is kind of sad. A little surprising to me, because, but at the same time, not surprising, because, like, if he survived this, you kind of have to sign on Taika Waititi to more episodes, and I don't think he wants to be on for more than, you know, the three episodes.
It honestly wouldn't surprise me if he just voices all the IG units in the show.
That's true.
And, like, that means he just has to show up one day in the studio.
Right. And, like, yeah,
I don't see IG units being a major part of the show.
No.
Yeah. Well, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do next season with, like, the directors and everything. Because I thought, I mean, you can kind of tell there's little, like, flourishes or whatever episode to episode. Like, certainly, you know, you get, like, the very, you know, like, the comedic scene sort of breaking the tension in this one. So it's like, oh, well, that's very much like Taika Waititi, you know?
Right.
And you know, wonder what they do with the directors next season, I guess.
Yeah. And I know they talked about, so, I mean, Jon Favreau tweeted out basically end of 2020 is getting season two. So we're not waiting that long. But he, it was all revealed in a tweet, like the date. There's a, I never know how to say it. It's either Gamorrean or Gamorrean guard was, like,
right,
the picture of, like, a character. So it's going to be a character in the next season. So you're going to get one of those back. But I guess there's going to be more crossovers with characters from the Skywalker saga in season two. Which,
yeah, I wouldn't hate that. But I feel like it's going to be like Wedge. Like, I don't think it's going to be anybody big.
And which, you know what, I'm okay with. I mean, so far,
yeah, keep the focus small.
Right. What
Wedge, the best part of Rise of the Skywalker. Yeah,
the one, like, 2-second clip he's in.
They cut out 20 minutes of Wedge. JJ didn't want this. Kathleen Kennedy threatened him with a gun.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, I mean, it, this all ends, I mean, there's the fight on the TIE fighter, which is kind of awesome, with the Mandalorian basically blowing up the TIE fighter with Moff Gideon, by the way, is the guy's name.
Yeah, that was sick.
Yeah, like, that was just awesome. Loved it.
Which is hilarious, because, like, they literally just did that, the, like, 5 days before in the other one.
Yeah.
The movie. And it's like, oh, and this is better. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I can't turn my back on Star Wars, not when they're making, like, something really cool like this show.
Right. And it makes it like, it's almost like you're trying to break up with Star Wars, but it's really hard because it's got this one great thing about it. And it's like, let's see where this goes. Like,
yeah, but, like, I don't want to learn how to cook, so maybe maybe I'll just stay with Baby Yoda and we can have bone broth together.
Yeah. The big reveal at the end of this episode, so Moff Gideon survives his TIE fighter crash, and you see this dark blade come out of it and cut his way out as the Jawas are trying to get the parts, I guess. Do you guys have any idea what that is?
That dark blade?
It's the dark. Was it Darksaber?
Is Darksaber a thing, or is that just
it? What is a thing in Star Wars, and it actually means a lot more to the show than you would think. So, the Darksaber is a lightsaber that was created by what?
By someone who's gothic.
Yeah. Yeah, some punk goth kid, really emo, hated his parents.
It's
no.
Not a phase master.
So the Darksaber was created by the first and only Jedi Mandalorian. Pre Vista, I believe is his name. This was like 1,000 years before this. And so the saber has jumped around from place to place. And it's even made an appearance in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the TV show, where one of the Mandalorians has it. I believe it's the one actually voiced by Jon Favreau, has the Darksaber. But then obviously the Empire basically kills all the Mandalorians, and Moff Gideon gets it somehow, and now he's got it. So, like I said, it actually matters to the Mandalorians.
Are we going to, like, skip over the fact that, like, technically Baby Yoda is now a foundling in the Mandalorian clan?
But she does say he needs to go back with his kind.
Yeah, she says because he's not strong enough.
Right.
So, can I just interject one thing? Listen, I love what's going on with this show. I'll give it more than any, you know, benefit of the doubt. But I just have to say, like, creating a character, it's like, yeah, but what if Boba Fett had a lightsaber? It's just, like, such an incredible, like, lame nerd thing to me. I don't know why. But that is kind of cool, though, that it is kind of worked into it. And it's not the first appearance either.
Right. Like, yeah, again, it wasn't, like, created, you know, for the show.
Right. I mean, we watch all the movies, and they're continuously redefining what Star Wars is.
Right.
Like, physical, the rules of the universe, let alone, like, the Force and things like that. When it's like, we just watch this show, and granted, you know, it's smaller stakes, it doesn't have to explain things so much, but it's like, yeah, I'm totally familiar. Like, I understand exactly what's going on. You don't even need to really tell me, you know? It's like,
this show, as a whole, respected the original trilogy more than the sequel trilogy ever did.
Yeah. And I'll say this too, like, I think definitely, like, having watched now the whole season, I stand by this is, like, probably 1 or 1A, like, the best thing they've done since Return of the Jedi.
Agreed. I 100% agree, because it respects it, like, it follows kind of the rules of the universe that were established for the original trilogy. And at the same time, I like the fact that it's, like, it's futuristic 70s.
And
yeah.
And the most important factor, it isn't dumb.
I know. Like, honestly, if you had told me that they were making a TV series on the Disney, like, free, you know, whatever you want to call it, over the top app or whatever, and it had Baby Yoda, I'd be like, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Like, Baby Yoda's going to be a main character.
Like, imagine if we had Boba Fett, but he's not Boba Fett.
And then, like, there's Yoda, but he's a baby.
It's them going on adventures.
They
meet this chick, and she's really cool. She used to be a troop.
Yeah, the premise for this show sounds stupid. Yeah. But it's not, without a doubt. If you liked the original trilogy, this show, like I said, it respects that original trilogy more than any other Star Wars thing that has existed since the original trilogy. I mean,
yeah, and I didn't realize how big of a part, what's his name? Not Favreau, Dave Filoni or whatever, the one who does the... it's done at least one of the shows. I don't know if it was Rebels or Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. But he was, like, either the main writer or one of the writers on that. And it's like, yeah, maybe I'll actually check those out now. I don't know.
He did Star Wars Rebels, which, and the Clone Wars, actually. He did both of those and Star Wars Resistance. I definitely recommend the Clone Wars TV show. It does jump around a lot, but the storylines are pretty solid. Rebels, I've keep trying to watch the first episode, but people keep interrupting me. So I will get into that. It's no DuckTales for me because I like binge that without right. like.
But you're just sitting there like that gif of like Lenny watching the award ceremonies for the Simpsons.
Right.
Like you're just in deep focus watching DuckTales play out in front of you.
Yeah, that was me for about a week while I was working on my Mando costume. So
don't talk to him. You know, make sure your dog Skittles isn't even in the room.
Nothing. Oh no, she watched it with me. It was me and her.
What can we have her on the podcast to discuss?
Yeah, she'll be ready to discuss DuckTales.
Sean's just sitting there going, "What does it mean?"
All right. Any final thoughts on Mando before we let it go for? You know, about 10 months.
Like, I never thought I'd say this, but like, if in the next few years I don't get a Baby Yoda Mando armor, I will be seriously disappointed.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And like, if I heard me say that in the past.
Like, 3 months ago.
3 months ago, if I somehow had the ability to hear me say that sentence, I would have been like, something terrible has happened to me.
You know, and by the way, it's like shocking to me like how big of a phenomenon Baby Yoda has, considering it wasn't even a thing I knew I needed in my life like a month and a half ago, or 2 months ago, I guess, at this point. You know, they always say leave them wanting more, but I kind of wish I had a couple more episodes of this, even though I thought it was paced perfectly. Like, not every episode there was a huge stakes or, you know, a big thrilling ending or whatever. Like, there was somewhere it's just like, hey, we're going to go talk to Bill Burr this week. It's like, oh, okay. But, I don't know. It's a little cruel to me that it's like we got, what, 4 hours of the show, pretty much?
It's, what, eight episodes?
Yeah, yeah. I guess they were all a little bit over, so we'll call it 5.5.
Right.
We got 5.5 hours of this, and we're going to have to pretty much wait another year again until we get another installment. But yeah. I guess those are just the breaks.
Yeah. All right. Well, any final thoughts before well, we're not grabbing Chris.
All right, well, let's just do this.
All right.
If you had to give it a score as a season. What would you give it?
That's tough because I rate TV shows are rated differently. Yeah, than movies.
I'm not saying you gotta. It's not apples to apples with the movie.
Yeah,
but just what did you think of it? 1 to 10. Like what?
I probably between a 9 and a 9.5. Like I absolutely love this show and I need more of it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm like at an absolute minimum. It's like a very high 8.
Yeah.
Or low 9s.
Yeah, I'm a 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's just a great show, great ending to the show. I mean, it established characters. It did a great job at what it needed to do.
And I'm even more confident for all these Disney Plus shows.
Yes,
and it was just kind of refreshing too. How like, you know, it wasn't. I think I was like really expecting it to be like another sort of like prestige drama like that we just see with everything else. And don't get me wrong, I love those shows. But not only do I think one that actually wouldn't work at all here, it's just nice to have a show where that's just kind of like, yeah, they go shoot him and they have some laughs and they're all friends and Baby Yoda does some cool shit and like Mando's looking fly the whole time.
It's just nice when like a show is just like, you know what? We're not that. We're just going to have fun. And it's like, you know what? I can respect you for just being like, we're just not that.
Yeah.
We're going to be what we need to be, not what people may want us to be.
Yeah. Which I think was the problem with the sequel trilogy. They tried being what people want.
They did try to at least make themselves think they were asking like big questions, even though still, no, not really, but you know.
Yeah. Huh. Well, on that note, I wish we had music, but Chris walked away with it.
Yeah, we usually play out here.
I was going to plug my phone in, but I'm like, oh, wait, I have the no phone, like headphone plug. So
yeah, I have that too.
Can't do that. So so enjoy this musicless outro.
John, play us out.
Yeah, John, play us out. If you like all of our podcasts, you can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on iTunes. Send us a message on Facebook at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. We actually did, by the way, we'll talk post-podcast, and we'll bring it up later. We did have our first ever message to do a movie. We'll talk about that later. But...
I'm just playing you out.
Yeah, no, thank you. And yeah, so rate us on iTunes, and like Chris always says, if you send give us a review, give us a movie, and we will review it. So until next time.
Bye.